I'm privileged to have the opportunity today to introduce our speaker. For many years, she has faithfully devoted her time and energy and tirelessly to keep this church clean. Due to her strong faith and her love for the Lord, God brought her much closer to himself to serve him and to be the face of our St. Paul's Church. Most of her life, she has been a part of St. Paul's, and today she is the heart of our church. We not only love and admire her as a person, but we also acknowledge her role as our administrative assistant in St. Paul's office. She is humble, talented, efficient, and meticulous in her work and carries a heart full of love and compassion. Always ready to help with a smile. Always ready to hug when you need a hug. But remember, virtual hugs during this pandemic. Besides running the church office, she always leads, she also leads midweek worship, Bible studies, assist with young group, and I don't know what I'm missing, anything else she does. Oh yes, how can I forget? She and her team made it possible for all of us to bring our church service live during this pandemic. She not only takes care of our church needs and church activities, but is also a good wife and a full-time caregiver for her grandmother. I would describe her as strong, persistent, and a peacemaker. This doesn't stop here. She was determined to follow her dream to study further. God heard her prayers and opened the door for her. She recently was accepted by the college, and she can now fulfill her dream to become a pastor. We are so proud of her and her achievements. I'm sure by now you know and can guess who I'm talking about. Yes, it's none other than our sweet Melissa Jensen. Congratulations, Melissa. And best wishes on your life journey. And may the Lord be with you, bless you, and keep you. Please welcome Melissa Jensen.
Good morning. I'm a little taken back, so excuse me for a second while I gather my thoughts. Thank you very much for that introduction I was not ready for. Sorry. Hello. thank you very much. My introduction has to do with thanking the UMW for even thinking of me to speak for Women Speak Sunday. I'm quite honored to be able to speak to you. I was going to introduce myself and what I do here. I don't have to do that. Tripti did it better than I ever could. I am Melissa Jensen, thank you. And I just want to thank also, they're not here right now because of what just happened, but I want to thank Nancy Penrod just for having faith in me and asking me through the UMW for being able to give this message. And before I start, if everyone's okay, I'd just like to give another prayer for them, so just bow with me for a quick prayer. Lord, I just want to lift up again our brother and sister, Nancy and Terry Penrod. Just lift them and bring them into your care. Lift up the others who were also in the accident. Lift them into your care. I just want to lift up them at this time and just hope that everything is all right and that we leave it all in your hands, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. This leads into my message very well. I wrote a message, and it is Mother's Day. It is Women Speak Sunday, and I think all women are affected. I think all mothers are affected by what I would like to speak about. I also think all men are affected, so I thought it was a good message to bring forward for the whole congregation. My message title is, Where Do We Anchor? And I have a key scripture here. I have a scripture here, and let me just get that out. It comes from Hebrews chapter 6. It's 13 through 20. The word of the Lord. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is possible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So in this intro, I've introduced myself. On my next slide, I have a word, the perfect storm of stress. I found this message where I decided to find, share, and expand on one of my weekly devotionals. I have a women's 3-minute devotional. That's where it starts. And then I expanded the message from there. But it said something very poignant, and I'm going to read it and then expand. It says, am I going crazy? Am I the only person who feels this way? As we go through life, it seems we occasionally lose our minds. The challenge of balancing schedules, dealing with demanding personalities, and maintaining relationships and friendships can drive our entire life courses. Like a ship tossed in a storm, we can drift in a strange sea overcome by uncontrollable waves. Who has ever felt like that? Okay? If you haven't, let's hear your secret. I think we all get caught up in schedules, in what we want to do. We also want to do things for the positive reasons of to bring the world into a better place. As Christians, we're discipling people. So we do lots of missions. We do lots of different activities and ministries in the church, and that is part of our schedule. That doesn't mean that we don't find stress within that time frame. This church is a thriving church full of ministries. But even in that time, even as we went from schedule to schedule, from thing to thing to thing, and this perfect storm of stress got hit by something even bigger. So my next slide should say Hurricane COVID, because that's what it was. Very similar to a Hurricane Sandy that knocked us out a couple years ago. This knocked us out in the whole nation. Our schedules were uprooted and everything was thrown to the wind. We had to learn again how to change our schedules, what we could modify, what we couldn't modify, what we could do, especially as a church. We had to think on our feet very quickly. We had to learn, make a ton of mistakes as we do as humans. And all of that happened in the same time, and our schedules changed. And now our schedules reflect not only that time of this past year, but also the years prior that now we're trying to get back to, while also taking on what we already brought in as the new. That's a lot. I don't know about you, but I feel that. So the question becomes, next slide, is where do we anchor? You know, an anchor is so important. The next slide has a word in it. It says, what is the shape of an anchor? The shape of an anchor, if you look at it, and for me, it reminds me of a cross. It's in the first century Christians, they used an anchor as a symbol of a cross. And with this, we have to realize we're not adrift. We're securely fastened through God, to God, through Jesus. Jesus securely fastened us, and Jesus leads the way forward, and he also is behind us. Again, in Hebrews, I read it in the beginning, but I just want to look at 19 and 20 again, where it says what I've just said. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. Jesus is in front of us and behind us. For all the stress we cause in our own lives, he is in front and in back. He has led the way for us, but he's also supporting us from behind. He's got it all. He's definitely much bigger than us. That's why if we're going to anchor in anything, that's where we have to lay down that anchor. Salvation, my next slide is, it says, salvation is found in the foundation of faith. Sometimes I talk to people and they're either not of the faith or maybe their faith has been compromised, or we're talking about faith in a way where maybe they're not truly, they don't feel they're secure. Many people will say the same thing. They will say, well, I get it and I kind of understand this faith, but it's not for me. The foundation may already be in these people. And that's not for us to figure out or for us to always understand, but that foundation of salvation can be in someone's heart when even they don't even realize it. And I think that's important as we move forward, especially in these times of this time here where we always feel this stress and fear and we feel all these things. Isaiah is a great reference for this. Isaiah 33, 5 and 6. It says, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be sure, he will be a sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. We put so much fear into other things that we have no control over. We all do it. We've all been in fear this year. We've all in some way felt this year. Whether you felt it personally through some type of illness, whether you felt it by others, whether all the fear you felt was the fear you felt because you had to go to the grocery store and people were standing too close to you. All of a sudden we had fear, but that's not the type of fear we need to have. The fear we have is the fear of the Lord, but it's also the key to the treasure. That's what it's saying here in Isaiah. And he will be a sure foundation in your times, in this time. That anchor of the Lord, that anchor in our salvation, is what we need to put the foundation in. If you think of an anchor, it anchors down into the foundation of the seabed, and that's what keeps the ship from going adrift. It's such a thing. And in the next slide, I have this thing. It says, feeling the waves. Just because we have the anchor, which we do, doesn't mean you don't feel the waves. It's not about us always feeling so firm and secure that nothing ever shakes us. We've been shaken. We've been shaken. And I don't want to dwell more on this year to make anyone uncomfortable, but I think it's a good time to reflect. And it's a good time to see that we can be shaken and still be sure. Sure in the Lord. We can feel the waves of our stress, the waves of our time. You know, you're not crazy. Before I asked if you were crazy. When you feel lost and confused, no, you're not crazy. We all have these stormy times. But we're held for secure in the anchor of hope. You know, we've felt some darkness in this time. And faith in the light, there's faith in the light even if we can't see through the dark. Psalm 112, 4 through 8 says, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteousness will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear in the end. They will look in triumph on their foes. Now, scripture here is looking at actual people who are literal foes. But if we take this scripture for ourselves, the righteous will not be shaken, that anchor, that firm foundation, that security. Sometimes the foes in our life are not people. The foes in our life are the things outside of people, the stress we feel, the anxiety, that feeling that just rattles you throughout the day. But there's hope. There's others who have felt it before us. That's one thing I want to focus on, because I think that we always think we're alone in this. This is how we feel, we're alone, and we're definitely not alone. And no matter how bad it can get, it can still be with the anchor of faith underneath all those waves. The others who were going before us, biblical figures. Even in Hebrews, it talks about Abraham and a promise given to Abraham by the Lord. Abraham went through a lot. He's a biblical figure who we know. He went through so much to get his son to be the heir, and then all the people who come after that heir. And yet he struggled. He had to even put that son up for sacrifice before the Lord intervened with an angel. He had given instructions by the Lord to kill his son. Think about the anxiety in that. How much do you think he was losing his mind? How sure did he feel? And yet he had the faith to know he had to do that. The Lord tells him he'll be secure, that his faith is great, and that is why the son is spared. You have a figure in scripture that I think most people know the story at least a little bit, is Job. If anyone went through the gauntlet, it was Job. Job went through so much, and yet it was his firm foundation. Things happened to Job. Job lost his family, his livelihood. He lost his home. He lost everything. And everyone is telling him, give it up. It's not worth it. And that's not what is true. He kept his faith no matter what happened to him. No matter what events in his life were happening, Job kept his faith. And God, after that, helped him, you know, fourfold. He blessed him. Another person who definitely had the faith of the Lord, and it must have been a hard thing to do, is someone who wrote the lyrics to one of my very favorite hymns. And this is Horatio Spafford. I don't know how many of you know Horatio Spafford, but most people know the title, which is It Is Well With My Soul. It's a very popular hymn. We have sung it many times. And Horatio had, Horatio Spafford's, Horatio Spafford, a little bit of, information about him. This is how, what led to the hymn being written. He had the death of his, one son. He was 4 years old, and the Chicago Fire in 1871. He was a lawyer, and he held properties, but the Chicago Fire wiped him out financially. So his finances run, and his son. He couldn't get things back together in Chicago, so he decided to send his family over to England. He was supposed to go with them, but he stayed in Chicago to deal with some business affairs. His wife and four daughters were on a ship that crashed with a collision with a sea vessel, and all four of his daughters died at sea. His wife sent him a telegram. I remember 1800s, not instant cell phones, so he gets a telegram, and it says, saved alone. That's what the telegram says. So now he has to go to England to be with his wife and cross the very sea that his daughters have died on. Now, this man has definitely felt a more modern day Job experience. And yet the devil's not in the story where we hear him saying to God, well, let me tempt him this way. Let me do this. Let me take this. It just happens. He loses his first son. He loses his finances. He loses his livelihood. He loses his children. And the only one left is his wife. And that could crush anyone. The first thing could have crushed him. The second thing, the third thing, who knows how he got to stand up and realize. Well, he tells us. And the story goes that he thought of these lyrics for this hymn while he was on the water and about where his daughters died. That's where these lyrics come from. The lyrics, and so the original lyrics, I'm just going to read just the beginning of those lyrics. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, lest this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh the bliss, what a glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. This man felt the gauntlet of life and still lifts it up to where it's supposed to be. He has the firm foundation in his faith to know it's not what happens to you in life that blesses you. It's the Lord's blessing that you have that helps you to endure anything that life may present to you. This life that we have been given is a blessed life because the Lord already sacrificed himself, took the sins of the world onto himself, and has given it, no matter what this world brings us. We've been through the gauntlet this year, but the Lord has brought us through. We've lost people in this year. The Lord has brought them through. The Lord brings us through no matter what in that firm foundation of salvation. To conclude, I just want to say that no matter what you're going through, the Lord will always be there for you, but there are those here who are also there for you too. Here to listen, here to hear you, to be a physical presence. The people of this church really know how to step it up and feel for you, even in the middle of anything happening. So not only do you hope you have a foundation in your salvation, but I hope you can feel the foundation that is here with the people here of St. Paul's. Please close with me in prayer. Lord, I cling to you as my anchor. Although I may feel lost at times, I know that you are here with me, holding me secure and giving me hope. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, the sacrifice you gave for the salvation of all of us. Thank you for the greatest gift you could give us, that you bared in your own agony to bring us and bless us. Lord, be with us all as we go forward from this place. Let us know that you've led the path forward before us, but that you're also behind us, Lord, supporting us in our every step. And no matter what trials may come, no matter what we may face, I hope that we can all be able to reflect into you and let it be well within our souls. Amen.